All this month on Revive Our Hearts, we're praying earnestly for the Lord to intervene in our world that is so chaotic and in such distress. And it's good in these times to remember that our God is not in chaos or in distress. So we're coming before Him in desperation, asking Him to show up in our homes, our communities, our churches, and throughout each of our nations and this world. As we begin today's program, I want to invite you to join us in seeking the Lord fervently. Here's Laura Booz to lead us in prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we cry out to you on behalf of our families. We thank you for being the perfect Father to us, your children. Thank you that you run after us when we're stuck in our sin, and you lavish us with your grace, and you pull us into your home, and you feed us on your word and fill us with your Spirit. Oh Lord, we repent of leading our families out of a heart of flesh and stone, out of a heart of sin and law. Instead, oh Lord, would you please fill us with your parenting heart. Teach us how to lead our families with love and grace. Teach us how to run after the sinner and to pull them back to the table. Teach us how to speak words of life and truth. Oh Lord, would you satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. May our children see your glory through us. May they see your glory as we grow and repent and love. May they see your glory in their own lives as you run after them and you pull them into your family and you teach them from your word and you call them and you show them how mighty you are on their behalf. Oh Lord, we trust you with our families, and we ask for your great care and your great mercy. We count on you. We trust in you. You are far greater than he who is in the world. We are not afraid. Instead, we are filled with faith, and our ironclad trust in your promises will last, because you who've begun a good work in us and in our families will be faithful to complete it. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heartache and pain are everywhere, but there is comfort available. Here's Aaron Davis.
So here are the three words that lift my eyes from my discouragement every day. You ready for them? Three words. But you remain. Jesus, you remain. All of this will pass away, but you remain.
You're listening to Revive Our Hearts Weekend with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth, author of Brokenness, The Heart God Revives. I'm Dana Gresh. We're hit with sobering news all the time. In the United States, we've been grappling with injustice, violence, divisions, and dangers. That's why it was so powerful earlier this week when Aaron Davis delivered a message called Looking to a Better Country. We heard that series on the Revive Our Hearts Daily program. Aaron reminded us of the end of the story, when God will bring every struggle to a close and wipe the tears from our eyes. We're about to hear one of those messages. Here's Nancy to get us started.
Throughout this month here at Revive Our Hearts, we're working on this theme, Cry Out. These are difficult times. These are times of distress. Whether you live here in the United States, as I do, or in other parts of the world, you know that our world feels like it's imploding. And many of our lives feel like they're imploding from circumstances over which we have no control. And so we're calling out to women together. Let's cry out to the Lord. Let's pour out our hearts to him and say, Lord, we need you. We need your perspective. We need your wisdom. We need your grace in this hour. We're living right now in the messy part of the story, chapters of the story of history that are just hard to understand and sometimes hard to see. Where is God in the midst of all this? But Scripture says we need to lift up our eyes when things get tough, when they get difficult. And we need to remember that these birth pains, this tumult in our world, is a reminder to lift up our eyes, for our redemption draws near. So I want to encourage you to open your Bible or find it on your Bible app to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. And you want to fasten your seatbelt here, because what Aaron is about to share is what we need every day in this present world, not only to get us through as survivors, but to help us thrive with hope and with joy in the Holy Spirit as we look ahead to what God has for us. And Aaron, I know you've been soaking in this passage for years, and I want to thank you for letting it get written into the core, the fabric of your heart, and now for unpacking it for us in a way that is bringing us such encouragement and hope.
Well, I'm so delighted that I get to.
Now let's listen as Aaron Davis shares with us this final message on Revelation 21.
Thanks, Nancy. Well, you might not know her story, but if you've sung in many church services, I bet you have sung the words she has written. Fanny Crosby is the author of more than 9,000 hymns. One that I love is Blessed Assurance. Here's a few words from that hymn. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. We've been talking about the promises of God recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And Revelation records a vision that was given to the apostle John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, by the time John was writing these words, he was an old man. He was a young man when he had seen Jesus, experienced his ministry firsthand, but now he is coming to those sunset years, probably looking back with fondness, but even more looking forward to what was ahead for him. Now, John's words are meant to give us that blessed assurance that Fanny wrote about, and to help us look above as we watch and wait for Jesus to return for us. I hope you've been following along. We really have been soaking in this passage for a couple days, but my life is a testimony that we cannot hear these words too often. So let me read to us Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Underline those words, "former things," in your Bible. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Here's what Revelation 21 has done in my life. It has run a steel rod of truth straight up my back. It helps me stand for the gospel in ways that no other passage really does. And here's why. Because Revelation 21 puts everything in my life into two categories. I had a short stint as a secretary in college, and I struggled with the filing system because there were so many different categories, different colors of folders, different places for things to go, and Revelation 21 gives us just two categories. I am a farm girl, and so the farm girl in me likes to think of them as two buckets: former things and eternal things. That's it. Former things and eternal things. There's no third option. There's no gray area. There's just former things and eternal things. This passage has given me a new filing system for everything in my life. Either it will last forever, or it is destined to pass away. It's either a former thing or it's an eternal thing. The list of former things is listed for us right here in Revelation 21:4. he is Jesus, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Tears, former thing. Death, former thing. Mourning is a former thing. Crying is a former thing. Pain is a former thing. All physical pain your body will ever experience, it's a former thing. All heartache your heart will ever experience, it's a former thing. Everything that is broken in our culture and everything that is broken in us, they all go in the former things bucket. They're goners. They're circling the drain. I like to think of it with a different word picture. They're expired milk. They're just waiting to be thrown out. Now, sure, they might stink, but it's not something that I am going to have to carry with me forever. We think about our own lives. We think about what keeps us up at night. What makes our stomach tie in knots with anxiety? What keeps us from worshiping because we're so consumed with worry? What fractures our human relationships because we just can't let it go? All of those things will ultimately end up in the former things bucket. And yet those are the things that we spend the most time thinking about, the most time trying to fix, the most time venting about or talking to others about. And Scripture is saying, put them in the former things bucket. It's where they belong. They're destined to pass away. So what remains? What goes in the second bucket? Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read us Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. You, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. These verses give us this language. They perish. They wear out. God will roll them up. Well, what are the theys and the thems in this verse? What's everything listed in Revelation 21:4? Tears, they will perish. Pain, it will be rolled up. Death, it will be gone. The broken earth beneath our feet is a former thing. But force your heart to sit in this for a moment. Hebrews 1:11 again. They will perish, but you remain. So here are the three words that lift my eyes from my discouragement every day. You ready for them? Three words. But you remain. Jesus, you remain. All of this will pass away, but you remain. I will always face discouraging circumstances, but I need not always face discouragement. Because what recalibrates my heart, what re-energizes my work, what refocuses my eyes on the mission is the permanence of Christ and his kingdom. Everything from minor annoyances to major heartbreaks has to go in one of the two buckets. God's word helps us see that so much of it is a former thing. Now, if you're listening to this and you're in the middle of real pain, real sorrow, I want you to hear me say this. I'm not saying those things don't matter. God cares about the details of your life, and he asks us to carry the burdens of others. But what I am saying, what Revelation 21 is teaching us, is that those things won't always matter. Sharing the gospel, Christ's work in our own hearts as we're being changed into his image, the people we spend our days working beside, the children who sit around our breakfast table, the Bible which we spend our days reading and living, those things will remain forever. There's a Helen Roosevelt quote that has deeply impacted me. If you're not familiar with Helen's story, she was a missionary to Central Africa in the mid-1900s. She's with the Lord now. But while she was serving on the mission field, she saw a civil war break out. She was arrested. The medical facilities that she had worked years to build were destroyed, and she was beaten and violently attacked. Yet whenever she would talk about living her life for Jesus, she would always talk about the privilege. I've been captivated by these words in particular.
Looking back, one has tried to count the cost. But I find it all swallowed up in privilege. The cost suddenly seems very small and transient in the greatness and permanence of the privilege.
That thought of the greatness and permanence of the privilege of living my life for Jesus has changed me. Helen's words in particular have changed the way that I pray. I frequently pray like this: Jesus, there is no cost to count here. There's just the privilege. And that is truly how I feel about living my life for Jesus. And it's not because it's easy, and it's not because there's not speed bumps, but there is no cost to count. There's just the permanence of the privilege. There's just the fact that everything that matters goes in the eternal things bucket. That's not some pie in the sky thought that doesn't have any weight to it. Following Jesus cost Helen plenty. And Jesus never tricked us into thinking it wouldn't cost us. He promised us it would cost us. And we're living in this culture where for some of us, we're experiencing for the first time following Jesus costing us something. And there's just the permanence of the privilege. There was an 18th century pastor and theologian who would pray this prayer: Lord, stamp eternity onto my eyeballs. I have that written in the margins of my Bible next to Revelation 21, because that's what this passage does for me. It sears eternity onto my eyeballs. My flesh, my eyeballs want to look at this moment in time. But this passage stamps eternity onto my eyeballs. This is the reason why Revelation 21 has changed me. Why I hope it's changed my family. Why I hope it's changed my small group, my church, my community. Because it has taught me to focus on what goes in the eternal things bucket and to hold on very loosely to everything in the former things bucket. I was traveling recently, and you should know I'm a head down traveler. And the woman next to me was trying to strike up a conversation. I was putting off the vibe that I didn't want to talk, but she wasn't picking up on it. And so she started to tell me this story. It was an unbelievable story. I Googled it later because it seemed so unreal what she was telling me. And it's her story. I won't tell it here. But the bottom line was that her family had experienced such tremendous horror and grief, I couldn't look her in the eyes as she was telling it to me. And she finished the story and she looked to me, and I knew she wanted me to tell her something, but I didn't know what it was. And so I asked this question: are the promises of God true? Because this woman was a pastor's wife, she was a woman of faith, and I needed to know if God really keeps his promises in a valley so dark I couldn't fathom it. She looked at me and she smiled. She said this: every single one of them. God had kept his promises to her in such incredibly dark moments. And barely on the other side of that darkness, she was declaring that God keeps every single promise he's ever made to his children. I want you to think about Fanny Crosby again. I read to you some of her lyrics from Blessed Assurance, and here's some of her story. Fanny was a blind hymn writer, but she wasn't born blind. She experienced blindness as a result of a medical error when she was a baby. Someone once said something to Fanny about what a pity it was that God didn't give her sight when he had given her so many other gifts. And Fanny said this, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." In many ways, Fanny's reality is our reality. When we get to heaven, all will be revealed, and we'll see in full for the very first time the precious gifts that Jesus has been storing up for us. And this is our blessed assurance. Former things are going to take their rightful place as things that are no more. They're goners. And eternal things, God, God's word, and God's people will be ours forever. Lord, stamp eternity onto our eyeballs. Amen.
We've been listening to Aaron Davis, a member of the Revive Our Hearts team, reminding us that the things that trouble us in these troubling days, the things that burden our hearts, the things that make us weep and sigh are not eternal things. They will one day soon be former things. Thinking of that passage in 2 Corinthians by the Apostle Paul, who understood hard things, really hard things, harder than most of us have experienced. But in the midst of all that, he said, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction, that's the former things. They're not former yet, but they one day will be. And they don't seem light and they don't seem momentary. They seem heavy and long. But he says, from God's perspective and from the perspective we will have when we are with him in heaven, these will be light, momentary afflictions. And what are they doing? They're preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So those things that are hard, those things that will soon be former things, they're preparing something better for us. They're preparing us for that eternal weight of glory forever in the presence of Christ. So, weary pilgrim, lift your eyes up, lift your head up, focus your heart, set your eyes on the things that are coming. That will give you perseverance and perspective and joy in this journey. You know, as you support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts with your prayers, with your financial support, you're helping us take these good tidings, this good news of what lies ahead to women around the world who desperately need that perspective. And when you send a gift to Revive Our Hearts this month, as our way of saying thank you, we want to send you a brand new resource that's only available through Revive Our Hearts. It's a new 31-day devotional for the Advent season. It will take you through the month of December, December 1, all the way through the 31st of December, and will help you to fix your eyes on Jesus during that season when so many things try to take our eyes off of Jesus. We'll be glad to send you a copy of this new devotional when you make a contribution of any amount to Revive Our Hearts this month. You can do that at reviveourhearts.com, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. And I believe that this is a devotional God will use during the Advent season to help you focus your eyes on the things that are eternal, the things that matter and will last forever. Thanks so much for your support of this ministry as we continue to help women around the world fix their eyes on Jesus.
As you go throughout your day, your week, and beyond, may you be reminded to keep your eyes fixed on the things of eternity. Thanks for listening today. These are desperate days we're living in. Next weekend, our host Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth takes us to the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah to share with us a prayer for urgent times. I hope you'll join us for Revive Our Hearts weekend. Revive Our Hearts Weekend reminds you that God is making all things new. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.